Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
So, Porky, welcome to another episode of On The Record.
Indeed.
It's been terrible weather, hasn't it? But unpredictable weather.
Shocking.
Really, really cold.
Yeah.
Then it got really, really warm.
Yep.
Then it got really cold again.
But we're past that now. We're now into the phase of freeze realignment,
well,
if you see what I mean.
Yes,
because there is a realignment. We're waiting now for the floods.
But you never know. We're waiting for the floods.
Yeah.
But you never know whether the floods are then going to freeze. I mean, that's the worst possible case scenario. But, I mean, so many people did so many stupid things during the course of the snowfall.
Yeah.
Like, for example, lorry drivers who wouldn't understand about how to brake in the snow.
Yeah.
18-wheeler trucks jackknifing on a motorway,
not
right?
Good.
And then holding up an entire sort of road for something like 15 hours.
I've never seen,
except for in really, really extreme weather conditions, any other country being unable to cope.
I don't like these people who say, oh, you know, you can't cope in the weather, and Denmark
it's
and
true,
Norway
though.
And America do it. But we don't get much cold weather. So I'm on the
loads
side
of it.
I'm on the side
of
the taxpayers here. I do not want us to spend millions and millions of pounds on gritters, millions and millions of pounds on these huge trucks that have a scoop at the front that pushes all the snow out the way.
I don't
want to spend all my money on that. I'm a taxpayer and I don't want these things parked, which they would be, in depots around the country for literally 11 months and 3 weeks of the year.
We
only get 1 week a year.
You've lived in America.
Yeah.
What you used to see in America was not just the people who were out there with the industrial scale gritters, but they would also have people who had little gritting things on the back of their pickup truck, right?
Oh, they would.
So you can actually, as you're driving along, you can grit the road with your own grit.
You can actually.
Okay? You can also put a little snowplow on the front of your pickup truck.
I was about to say, you can carry a bucket around in a pickup truck in the back of your truck.
So everyone that's got a pickup truck should have one of those fitted,
and then put it on the front. But we're not geared to that in this country.
Because of the way that the climate is changing, we're going to need to do that.
The worst thing about the big freeze is how you keep warm in the big freeze. You got any suggestions?
I like to keep warm in the big freeze by burning an awful lot of wood, which
is
always
good. But that's carcinogenics in burning wood. I've told you this before.
Yeah, well, you and Sadiq Khan, are you suddenly on the side of Sadiq
Khan? No.
You want to ban wood-burning stoves.
I'm telling
you. Yes, you do, don't you?
But no, wood-burning stones are a waste of time.
Stones?
Stoves.
Wood-burning stones would be good.
Wood-burning stoves are a waste of time.
Yeah.
I'm not sure we do them. I think there's a case to be said for a re-education on internal heating of the human body.
Oh, yeah, what do you mean by drinking, that sort of thing?
Well, I think it's a known fact that if you take alcohol into the body, it helps.
Really? Well, I mean, I've got some good news for you in that case.
What's that?
Because if you're listening to this podcast, and many people are, On The Record, it's called, right? You can get it from Audio Boom, because they're the people that put it out on our behalf. You can get it on all sorts of different devices. You can get it on all sorts of different platforms.
Yeah.
But listening to this very podcast, right, you can get a free case of beer, which is worth 24 quid.
And who's that from?
And that would keep you very warm indeed. It's from Beer 52, which is a fantastic organisation, right? They are a craft beer operation. But
they're
not
known
only...
as a discovery club.
It's a discovery
craft beer
club.
Discovery
yeah.
club.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is they don't not only sell craft beer, but they've got a whole menu of different craft beers you can get your hands on.
Yes.
And all you've got to do...
I've got a case.
And we're going to give
you a
link in a moment. You've got a case, and I've got a case.
Send me a case, and it's fantastic. The variety of beers they've got, by the way.
There's some porter in there. There's some Irish ale.
Yeah.
There's some great stuff from local breweries around the world.
That's right.
You can actually customise your own case if you want to. If there's only sort of particular types of beer that you like, you could just change all of the beer in that case for one beer, or you can change it for 24 different ones.
Mine ranges from light and hoppy IPAs to the dark porters and the stouts, and you can tailor the box yourself. Mm. Now, what you have to do to get onto this tremendous opportunity?
Well, you get your first case for free. You just have to pay $5.95 delivery. It's an incredible 8 different craft beers, OK?
Wow.
There is no minimum commitment, and if the club is not for you, you can just pause or cancel at any time. But here's what you've got to do, right? Yeah. You've got to go to beer52.com/2mics, claim your free case today. It's very simple. You don't have to enter anything. All you've got to do is go to beer52.com/2mics, order the case, and it will take you straight to the place where the voucher is already added in.
Wow.
So you don't even have to do anything.
That's
great. It's ordering beer for the lazy people, basically.
That's absolutely fantastic. That certainly includes us. Now, talking about lazy, I'm not lazy. Now, I tried to introduce the people who listen to us to My Siberian Shuffle.
Oh, yes.
Now, you know about My Siberian Shuffle,
don't
you?
Well, I saw it on a tweet, yes.
And you've heard about it before. I've told you this in the past 2 or 3 years.
Really?
The Siberian Shuffle, right? What happens is the pavements are either icy or they're slushy, but it's not safe underfoot.
Yes.
So what you do is...
But that's a massive problem in this country, right?
Well,
because what they ought
problem.
To do is make sure that the streets are safe for people to walk
exactly.
on, particularly elderly people
exactly.
who can damage themselves.
I don't let
and
my mum
themselves.
Out. I do not let my mum out. In this weather, I ban my mum from going out.
Well,
she's
how can
down
you ban
in
her
Bournemouth.
From going out? She's in Bournemouth.
She's down in Bournemouth. I make sure people take her everything she needs, okay? Her groceries are delivered.
Uh-huh.
If she needs fuel for the fire, it's delivered.
Yeah.
Anything that she needs gets delivered. Mm. I say, Mum, I mean, you know, I love my mum. She's 84 years of age. She's already had a hip replaced.
Right.
I do not want her out on streets
like that.
I hope that every caring son and daughter has been exactly as caring as I am for their old
parents.
Well,
I'm actually similar. I don't.
Yes.
I say to my mother, my mother up until relatively recently, and she's going to be 94 this month.
That's amazing.
She actually, until about 2 years ago, was still going to New York City on her own.
Good God.
And I finally said to her, look, we've got to stop doing this.
Yeah, I mean, how far is she from New York City? That's what we need to know.
Well, she lives in Connecticut.
Yeah, how far is that?
She has to get on, she has to get somebody to give her a lift to the train station.
Yes.
She has to get on one train which goes to New Haven, which takes about half an hour.
Right.
Which is about, I don't know, 20 miles. Then she gets on a train from New Haven, which is about 65, 70 miles into Manhattan.
Where's that go?
What?
Which station in Manhattan? To go to Penn?
No, it goes into Grand Central.
Grand Central, yes.
Right?
That's
she then would come out of Grand Central Station by foot, right?
Yes.
And then try and get on a bus,
yes.
which would take her down Lexington Avenue. And then she would walk from Lexington Avenue to her daughter's apartment, my sister's apartment, on 25th Street.
Amazing.
Now, that is an incredible journey for a woman
particularly
of her years.
Particularly the sort of weather that New York City gets, so don't do it, OK?
Never mind that. I said to her, you've got to stop even thinking about walking anywhere and going into Manhattan.
That's
I said, what if you fell over?
Now, let me tell you about the Siberian Shuffle. That
you don't
is...
care about this story I'm telling you about my mother.
Of course I do. And
you are so utterly uninterested in anything apart from you, aren't you?
I know your mum, and she's a great lady, and I've known her for a number of years, and... I'm very delighted
to hear
she's
still I'm glad you said that, because she listens to these podcasts. She won't be very happy to hear how disinterested you are in her plight.
I'm not disinterested at all. Now, let me tell you this,
shocking statement.
The Siberian Shuffle, what you do is it's Crouching Tiger-type stance, OK?
What about the Hidden Dragon bit?
Don't worry about the Hidden Dragon. It's Crouching Tiger style.
Yeah.
What you do is you shuffle so that your feet are never ahead of your other foot.
Hey?
See what I mean?
Well, how do you go anywhere then?
Well, because you only put your right foot forward 9 inches
uh-huh.
and then your left foot forward 9 inches in front of that and then your right foot, then your left foot.
Well, you must have
me?
To go very slowly then.
Well, you do go slowly because you have to. Mm-hmm. Can you hear that noise? That's me practising the Siberian Shuffle.
That looks more like a dance
No, it's not a dance. And what you do is you concentrate. Don't look down. Look ahead.
Okay.
And then you've got perfect gravitational balance,
uh-huh,
okay?
Yeah.
And that's how you get...
How does it work if you're going, say, for example, down an incline?
Down an incline, you do it sideways.
Uh-huh.
Almost as if you were skiing and you you know, when the skiers turn their skis to try and break.
Funnily enough, my father used to go downstairs sideways because he said it was quicker and safer.
Really?
Yeah.
Your old father was a bit of a nutter, wasn't
he? Well, no, but he was very fast. Mm. I mean, one of the things that he didn't do was walk around like me. You're always accusing me of having a sort of a very slow gait.
Oh, you do.
You say that I walk
gait,
in a very relaxed manner.
Yeah.
He was the complete opposite of that.
Really?
He used to walk incredibly quickly.
Yeah.
A bit like you, right? Mm. You walk out with... If I go out walking somewhere with you, which is not as if we're going rambling together, but even if we're just walking to the pub, you're about 10 feet ahead of me all the time.
Yeah, well, that's because you know, I've got places to go in life, mate, and you're a
slow... Yeah, but we're going to the same place.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, surely the whole point...
Yeah, well, I usually get there first and end up by buying the goddamn booze.
Well, that's up to you. Yeah. I mean, the point is that, you know, the point about walking somewhere, is actually about enjoying the other person's company.
Yes,
but you don't enjoy my company, because, you know, you only enjoy my company if we're talking about you.
No, no, that's not true at all.
Really?
That is completely and utterly untrue.
Okay, then.
Now,
well, anyway, my father used to walk ahead as well.
Right, oh, did he?
And in fact, so much so that once he was with my mother in Barcelona, right, and he was so busy walking ahead of her that he didn't notice that two muggers had come up behind her and stolen her bag.
No.
Yeah.
They cut it off, like...
I don't think they cut it, they just sort of grabbed it off her shoulder.
Shocking, that, isn't
it? And then they ran past him.
Muggers.
Right? They ran past him.
Yeah.
And he turned around and he said, "What's going on?" And she went, "They've got my bag."
So did he
run after them? Yeah.
Did he get them?
No. And they got away. But again, he was probably about 60-something in those days.
Absolutely.
And I'm
shocking.
Very glad that he didn't catch them because, you know, who knows what they would have done.
Absolutely shocking. Mm. Now, let me tell you, I've come across in my journals a new chapter on the history of the Beatles, which everybody's fascinated about.
Well, some people
are fascinated. Paul McCartney is still alive. I tell you what I watched last night, right?
Yeah.
And I was rather disappointed with it. 8 days a week.
Okay.
Now,
well, the new film, 8 days a week, or the old film?
Eh?
Was there an old film, 8 days a week?
No, no, there's only
this
the one.
This is the new one.
This
okay.
is done by the guy from Happy Days, right?
Oh, what, the Fonz?
No, no, no. The other guy who was Cunningham. You know, he's a top Hollywood
producer.
Ron
Howard, you mean?
Ron Howard. He made Apollo 13,
I thought you meant
didn't
the
he?
Fonz.
No, not the Fonz. Yeah. No, the Fonz was what was his name?
Henry Winkler.
Henry Winkler. That's right. And
he's been in at Talk Sport. Henry Winkler.
He has. Yeah, he ended up as a wrestler, didn't he?
Hey,
he was a wrestler.
No,
I think he was.
No, I don't think so.
No, he was.
I was thinking about somebody else.
No, I'm not. He became a wrestler, Henry Winkler.
No,
definitely.
He did not.
The Fonz. He did.
I think you're wrong about that.
Anyway,
I'll double check.
Anyway, let me tell you. So I used to love it in the Fonz because Henry Winkler, the Fonz, would say. Just get over here, Cunningham.
Yeah.
Used to call him Cunningham.
What was his other catchphrase?
Hey. And he used to spread his hands out and say, "Let's cool it all." Hey.
Hey.
You know?
Yeah, all right. But well, anyway,
so the point of my story is,
yeah.
I put this on to watch it. And how disappointed was I? Because I'd seen all the previous Beatle footage anyway, all the stuff from America, right? But it slowly showed how John Lennon got so disinterested in touring because nobody could hear him and it was ridiculous and all that kind of... Do you know that when they got to the last one, which was Candlestick Park in San Francisco, Vox, who are the people who produce the speakers, had to build... Especially for the Beatles, huge speakers for that concert that had never been built before.
Again, like so much of what the Beatles did, you know, they were doing things that nobody else had ever done.
Nobody else had done.
So, I mean, playing a stadium, for example, which I mean, the Rolling Stones we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks.
Well,
I mean, they're doing a stadium tour.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody plays stadiums now, right? But in those days, nobody played stadiums.
You're absolutely right. So what they did was, even though they built these huge speakers, right?
Yeah.
They still only reached, like, the first four rows of the crowd.
Right.
And you're talking about a baseball stadium, which is even bigger.
Well, Candlestick Park's the old San Francisco 49ers stadium.
Absolutely, even bigger than a football stadium.
Yeah.
So what they did, the organisers said, "Oh, it's all right, we'll play it through the PA system."
Uh-huh.
So all these little, you know, these little sort of... little tiny speakers, which were used to tell the crowd in a silent stadium who was up next on the pitcher or the slugger or something like that.
Right. A car registration number ZY155.
Yeah.
Please remove it immediately.
Absolutely. So they pumped it through that. So the people right at the far side of the stadium could only hear it coming out these ridiculous. You know, when you go to Butlin's holiday camp.
Well, I've never been to Butlin's.
And in the morning, they used to play, you know,
morning campers.
Through rain or shine, the sun will always shine on your Butlin's holiday.
Oh, my God.
And they used
Thank
to have
God
these,
I never went
these
to
little
one.
Speakers, like on telegraph poles.
I know the kinds you mean. Yeah,
you know what I mean. I mean, the size of an ear horn, actually. You know what I mean?
Very small.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. So the Beatles.
But
you know,
in Candlestick Park, did they actually utilise all the seats as well as the pitch, as it were?
They utilised three sides of the stand, which is all their baseball stadium is.
Right.
But the pitch itself was also used for, you know, people to stand on.
Right.
As well as
so that was full as well.
That was full as well.
They must have had quite a few people.
The whole thing was full. I mean, and it was all so crazy that people lost their minds, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And
well, all you could hear was a lot of girls screaming.
Yeah, mass hysteria. In fact, funny enough, do you know what I saw the other day?
No.
David Beckham is now building his new stadium, his new franchise.
Oh, in Miami,
Miami. Mm. He goes into a school in Miami.
Right.
Did you see this?
No.
On Sky?
No.
I saw it on Sky. He goes into this school to meet local people. It's a sort of a glad handing, you know, welcome to the community and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
And all these girls from the local community all got into the school And we're all Beatlemania-ing it.
Really? They're screaming?
They're all in the school fainting. Gym, fainting, leaning off the rails. Oh, yeah. David. You know, I mean, yeah. What an effect to have on
that's
even
incredible.
In this day and age.
Last time I saw that kind of behaviour was when we were in New York, right? And you might remember, I think you'd gone by then, but you know Pete Rudge, who used to manage the Rolling Stones.
Rudgie,
used to be. He was the guy who, of course, was told by the IRS, the tax people, that he couldn't actually write a cheque without them co-signing it because they bankrupted him.
Yeah, right.
They came to him after. He was the Stones tour manager back in the kind of, I guess, the 80s,
taxes
right?
can do terrible things to you.
Well, it turns out that the IRS came to him and said, you owe us $1 million.
Right.
And he said, well, I haven't got $1 million.
Yeah.
And they said, well, in that case, we're going to have to find some kind of way for you to get $1 million to pay us back.
Yeah.
He went to see Jagger, right, and said, apparently, I owe them $1 million. You know, can you help me out?
I must have given it to you instead of giving it to the tax man.
He wouldn't give him the money.
No.
So he was basically made bankrupt. I know, exactly.
Yeah, bit harsh.
He was made bankrupt, and he had to pay them $1 million. So every piece of money that he made for about 4 years, he had to give them half.
Well,
right?
I'm surprised it was only half, because I had a situation here once with one of our people who had problems.
Yes.
A previous business.
You don't have to give any names away.
No, previous business has gone down.
Yeah.
And I wasn't allowed to send this person the money.
Yeah.
It had to
had
go
been attached, as they say.
It had to go via
the tax man.
HMRC.
Really?
His Majesty's Revenues and Customs.
You've told me that story
before.
Well, I'll have to find out who it is.
I don't like to go into it because it's a bit too close to home.
Right.
You know
okay.
I mean?
Well, anyway, so Pete Rudge, as part of his rehabilitation, was basically managing other bands and did other things. I went down to Madison Square Garden once. He was managing Roger Waters for Pink Floyd.
Oh, great.
Which was great fun. Mm. And he said he was going to introduce me to Roger Waters. Went backstage later, and of course, he did introduce me to Roger Waters, but it was all a bit embarrassing because he was sort of rushing past.
Yeah.
But he then became the road manager for Duran Duran.
Oh, right.
Who then were having a sort of their first comeback, because by this time it was probably about, I don't know, late 80s, maybe 1990.
They were big in the early 80s. They were New Romantics, weren't
they? That's right. Well, this was their first kind of proper comeback tour. They're still doing them, you know. Anyway, they were playing up somewhere in Midtown, not a massive venue, but big enough for about probably 3,000 or 4,000 people.
Yeah.
And I went in there, right?
Couldn't have been the Drake's Drum, could it?
It wasn't that small, no.
No.
2,000 people. You can't get 2,000 people at Drake's Drum.
No, you couldn't. No,
it was a proper like venue.
Yeah, sure.
A bit like the Shepherd's Bush Empire.
Yeah,
that sort of size,
We're doing that again this year, by the way.
We are doing it again this year in
December. Just been invited back,
yeah. Yeah, we have.
I'm surprised
we're
invited
successful.
Back after your behaviour, but anyway, there
well,
we go.
Well, I wish you could tell me what I did, because I don't remember.
Well, you see, now this is something we shouldn't be talking about.
I told you the story of Keith Richard going to Australia not remembering any of the shows that he did.
Well, yeah, but I mean...
I've done that I don't remember.
He was on heavy kind of gear, you know.
Well, I think I may have to take some kind of, some kind of assistance the next time, so that the drink doesn't get me. Anyway, so I go up to Duran Duran's show.
Yeah.
And they were already on, because, of course, I'd been in Costello. So in those days, you were always late for everything because you'd had one more drink.
Yes.
Got up there, and it was full of... I mean, as I was walking in, they were carrying girls out.
Yes.
Who had fainted.
Right.
Because the teenage girls...
Duran Duran?
Yes.
Had that effect on women?
Yes, of course.
God. What was this? Was it like a theatre, I suppose?
Yeah, it was like a music
venue.
Was it
up in...
It was somewhere near Times Square. Was it far from Times Square?
I thought you were talking about like DMX, as we call it, between the Bronx and Manhattan.
DMX?
Yeah.
What's that?
Demilitarized zone.
No.
Above 96.
No. It was somewhere up
You don't go unless
it was somewhere up
you take
on,
a bodyguard.
Like 6th Avenue and 50th or something like that.
Yeah.
Can't remember the name of it.
Mm.
But it's quite a famous venue.
Okay.
Anyway, so they're carrying these girls out, right?
Yeah.
And I had the old backstage pass and everything else so I could get in.
Yeah.
And these young women kept coming up to me and saying, wow, man, you got a backstage pass, could you get one for me?
Yeah.
And all this, it got so
bad.
Suppose
you took advantage of these women, did you?
No, because some of them didn't look very old to me, you know. They looked as if they might be a bit underage, you know. So actually, eventually, when they started making lewd suggestions to me, which quite a few of them did.
Did they?
Yeah.
Of course, you looked okay in those days, didn't you?
Well, I looked a lot younger.
Yeah. Well, you were a lot younger.
I don't look so bad now, actually, compared to you.
I'm sure about that.
Well, if I stand next to you, I always look decent, because you dress like a tramp and you look as if you're half dead. So if I stand next to you, I look all right. Mm. Anyway, the point is that I realised that this was, if these girls were willing to do what they were suggesting in order to get backstage, I said, well, if you're that desperate, then I'm going to help you. So I went and actually got a couple of backstage passes and gave them to them. And I said, please don't.
Really, you've always been a philanthropist, haven't you?
I have.
Really, you know,
and I said,
you always
please.
Do things for no reward, don't you?
I do. Absolutely.
I don't think you've told us this.
This is a true story. And I because I was quite appalled. I said, you shouldn't have to, you know, like prostitute yourself to go backstage. I don't want you to
prostitute
do that.
Prostitute yourself? Shouldn't be using words like that in a family show like this.
This is not a family show. This is on the record. I can swear on this if I want.
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah, I can.
I've had a few complaints about that.
People like it actually.
I don't want to hear all that.
But what people have said is that they are not surprised to hear me swear, but they're very surprised to hear you swear.
Well, that's because I'm a fair mouth most
They've
of the time.
They've obviously not been to any
listen,
of our live shows.
So did you meet Le Bon?
I didn't, know.
No, why not? If you got backstage, you'd be in their dressing room.
Well, no, because you know what
start,
happens?
You know, taking nefarious substances afterwards.
No.
Not suggesting that they did, of course.
No, I wasn't, no.
No,
no, the thing is, I didn't particularly enjoy it. The whole scene was kind of not really my thing.
The Reflex,
yeah, the Reflex
is the only
They had this weird
way.
Thing.
That's the only
seen?
Song I liked to Duran Duran.
Well, do you know, in the Reflex, there's something that very weird happens. When you watch the video, a waterfall comes out from kind of behind them on stage.
Yes.
But it's an optical illusion, right? Because it's
not really
a waterfall.
Right.
And I actually saw them doing it live.
Oh, yeah?
And the waterfall did come out onto the stage.
Really? Yeah.
But I still don't know how they did it, because it wasn't a real waterfall.
I wouldn't worry.
But it was, no, it's a fascinating thing for me. It's a three-dimensional, because we do a stage
work.
Yeah,
but they do that all the time now. They put Elvis on the stage now, even though he's been dead for 30 years,
right?
Yeah,
I know, but that's a hologram.
Holograms, that's it. Well, it would have been a hologram then, wouldn't it?
Well, no.
Why not?
No, it wasn't a hologram. I don't know what it was. But
well,
I don't
it was
know
an optical illusion.
Well,
optical illusions are done by all those dumb magicians like Dynamo and all that. You
think Dynamo's
walk
dumb?
Walk on water and all that.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
By the way, you should be careful what you say about famous people.
Why?
Right? Because I met Dennis Wise the other day, who was in TalkSport doing a show.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Yes. I met him. I met him in one of the breaks.
You remember that?
Yeah, I said hello to Dennis. Yeah.
Well, he came up to me, right?
Oh, yes.
Completely
this is Dennis Wise, the famous footballer.
Yeah, and also inmate from I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
Yeah, won the FA Cup and took his little baby. Part of the crazy gang. Lifted his baby up in one hand and took the FA Cup in the other when Chelsea
really
beat...
Really nice guy, actually.
Somebody, I can't remember who it was. The fastest ever Wembley
Chelsea.
FA
was that with Di Matteo's goal?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, it was.
Can't remember who they were playing.
Yeah.
But anyway, he came up to me sort of rather conspiratorially and he said...
This is Dennis,
Dennis. He said... a very nice guy. He said, big mate of Vinnie Jones's, right? He said,
Vinnie Jones lives in California.
He lives in California. Ooh, and he said to me,
in fact, he's on the Al Brazil Breakfast Show every Monday.
Well, why are you emphasising that?
Well, why not? You know, anyway,
this is not anything to do with TalkSport.
No, but Alan Brazil's a mate of mine. Anyway, go on. Yeah.
Mate of yours, is he?
Yeah.
He's not a mate of mine either.
Well, he might be. I don't know how long you've known him.
Well, I've not known him as long as you.
No, right, yeah.
But I mean, he's probably the guy you've known the longest, apart from me, who still talks to you.
Maybe, yeah. But I mean,
no,
you know,
true.
I've given friends away over the years, mate. They've
given
not given
away.
Me away. Yeah. You know, people
when you say giving them away. No, people
everybody
just don't
wants
want
a piece of
you.
The Portmeister. I've learned that over the years.
Really?
And you know what I do? I swat them away like flies when they overstep the mark.
What
all
you
right?
mean when they borrow too much money off you?
Well,
because that's how you keep your friends, isn't it? By loaning them money.
No, not at all.
That's
I help
true.
People in distress, and sometimes whack, all you do. It's that old thing about when one door closes, another smashes you in the face. When it comes
you
to
see,
friends,
you're so negative.
So I can get rid of friends like I get rid of. You know, vermin,
really?
Okay? I'm not suggesting my friends are vermin, by the way. I'm not suggesting they're vermin. That was perhaps not the right thing to say.
You haven't got enough of them.
No.
I think if I were you, I'd be a bit careful about divesting yourself of too many friends. You'd end up with no one.
Well, I mean, that's... Anyway, go on.
Anyway, Dennis Wise said to me, he said, that Mike Parry, said, what's he like?
Oh, did he? Yeah. He wanted to know about me.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
So Dennis wanted to know about me.
I said,
probably because I'm a famous broadcaster.
I said, well, he's a bit of a horrible bastard, actually.
Oh, come
no,
on.
No, I didn't say that. No, I said he's a very funny guy. He said, my mate Vinny doesn't think so.
My mate Vinny?
Yeah, because he's mates with Vinny Jones. They played together in Wimbledon. And they won the cup together, I believe.
They did, yeah.
He said, he told me once he wanted to kill him.
And
I said, why?
Vinny Jones wants to kill me.
He said, I'm just telling you. He said, because if they're in the same room together, I don't think Vinny, it's not going to be a good thing. He said, so you might want to tell him to stay out of Vinny's way.
Really?
And I said, really?
Why?
I said, well, why is he so angry? He said, well, he apparently said something really horrible about him.
Yeah.
And I said, did he? And he said, well, do you not remember what he said? And I said, well, I think it was probably when Mike Parry said that Vinny was the worst footballer to ever play in the Premier League.
That's right.
And that he was the least talented.
I did.
And the most useless.
Yes, I did.
And Dennis just kind of shook his head and said, well, I'm not surprised he's upset.
Well, hang on. That's only half the story.
What a terrible thing to say.
That is only half the story. Let me tell you exactly what I said.
Yeah.
I said Vinnie Jones was
I remember exactly what you said.
Yeah, I said...
You said it on the radio.
You only told half the story, because I'm going to tell you the other half the story now, right?
All right.
Vinnie Jones was the least talented footballer I've ever seen in the Premier League or the First Division, okay?
Yeah.
I can't imagine how he survived so long at the highest rank. The worst possible thing that ever happened was Vinnie Jones playing international football.
You're going to compound this now, are you?
No, I'm not.
You are.
Playing international football.
For Wales.
Yeah, for Wales.
Wales.
Know, somebody found out that he had a great-grandfather who was half Welsh or something.
Uh-huh.
Came from the Valleys.
Well, Jones is a Welsh name. Tom Jones.
Jones is a Welsh name.
You know.
Parry's a Welsh name, but I'm not Welsh, so he's not Welsh.
Alan Brazil says you are. He's your best friend.
I don't care what Alan Brazil
says.
You told us not to mention Alan Brazil, okay?
I told you not to mention his show.
No, you mentioned him in malice. So what I'm saying to you is this.
Yeah.
I said, and do you know what? The amazing thing is, with so little talent, he achieved so much in football. He won the FA Cup.
Uh-huh.
He became an international footballer.
Is that what you
call
a backhanded compliment?
He became an international footballer. He played at the highest level.
Yeah.
He even played in the team that beat Everton 3-1 in the quarterfinal of the FA Cup.
That's probably saying something those days. When Everton
had been in the FA Cup final for the three previous years. They were the best FA Cup team of the decade.
Are they the team that's lost the FA Cup in the final more than anybody else, maybe?
They've lost, I think, more semi-finals than anybody else.
Have they?
They've been in more semi-finals. But anyway, the point of the story is, I was praising Vinnie Jones, right?
Well, that's
I was
not
praising Vinnie Jones.
I was saying for a man with such limited talent.
No,
no, no. See,
he did so well.
No, this is your kind of way of making a backhanded compliment, trying to make out that you're everybody's mate when actually saying something horrible about
him. If Vinnie Jones wants to mix it with me, right, I was the person sitting there the night he bit my mate Ted Oliver's nose in a hotel in Dublin on the night the England fans
Funny you should say that, because Dennis mentioned that as well.
Oh, did he? What did he say?
He said, well, he's not liked him ever since that night.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, on that night, I saved him from being sacked as a footballer.
He said, was Parry not working at the FA? I said, I think he was.
Yeah, I was.
The night that whole thing happened.
Yeah.
And he said, well, he's never liked him since then.
Well, let me tell you this, right?
Yeah.
Vinnie Jones could have been thrown out of football for good that night because that was a vicious and nasty assault.
Yes.
He tried to make out it was a joke.
Yeah.
He leaned over to Ted and said...
Because Ted had written something in the mirror that he didn't like. Is that what
Do you know what? He didn't even know who Ted was. Seriously.
Yeah. Really?
He was off his head, Vinnie Jones. Uh-huh. You know, it was after the
England
game.
What was he doing there?
He was...
Because he wasn't playing for England, was he?
That morning, I'm pretty sure, there'd been an incident in which Gary Lineker got some orange juice poured over his head.
Ah.
Vinnie Jones was in the same breakfast room at the time, right?
What I'm trying to say is, why was he there?
I don't know why he was there specifically, but I think he was doing some punditry.
Was he doing a column or something like that.
Yeah. But he's out of control. He was out of control. Right. So what happened is... He didn't even know who Ted Oliver was.
Right.
And Ted Oliver, by the way, couldn't probably not have written anything bad about him because Ted wasn't a sports reporter.
No, Ted was a news guy.
Ted was a news guy, you know, for the Daily Mail.
Yeah, but nevertheless, you know, they could have been a problem with the paper or something.
There could have been, because Vinnie did a lot of things off the field as well, which were written about a lot. And you're absolutely right.
Mm.
Once said that I think that he contemplated, you know, harming himself with a shotgun because he was a boy from the country and all that kind of stuff, you know.
Mm.
That is my recollection.
Yeah.
But anyway, what happened was he came in. He was with another chap and there were two females in company.
Yeah.
Right? I'm not suggesting that there was anything going on, malarkey or anything like that.
Okay.
But,
I don't
sense
that you're getting clear your name here
with
Vinnie Jones.
What happened was, we were in this very swish restaurant in Dublin, but because of the fact that the riot had taken place that night, you know, there were lots of officials around and all that kind of stuff. And,
so this is quite late then?
Oh, it's about 1 in the morning.
Oh, dear.
And I'd sorted everything out. I'd repaired diplomatic relationships.
Really? Well, they'd left you behind to sort out the mess.
They did, yeah.
And they'd all buggered off back to London.
They'd all taken the private plane back, the FA.
Did you not feel as if they'd abandoned you?
No, because I said I'm the boy for this. I repaired diplomatic relations between the Republic of Ireland and England, which could have been fractured very badly because of that riot.
Right.
I had dismissed and got rid of the Yobbo faction of the England fans.
Really?
And told the...
Had they not all been arrested or anything?
I told the Irish authorities to throw them out of the country immediately, deport them, get rid of them. Okay, I'd sorted all that out.
Yeah.
Then I went for a restful drink with Ted because I'd been giving Ted information he needed to write your story in the Daily Mail. You know, quite above board and all that.
Yes.
We said to the maitre d' in the main bar in the hotel.
Were you staying in this hotel?
You're staying in the hotel. Yeah. It had an exclusive tower block of executive suites where I was staying. You know.
Okay.
So I said to Ted, I said, "Come on," and it was absolutely packed. And I said to the maitre d', "You know who I am, don't you?" He said, "Oh, Mr. Perry, you're a man from the Football Association. You're always welcome here, right?" What are you laughing at?
Did he have a horse with him, this guy?
No, he didn't have a horse, no. And he said, I said, look, it's so crowded here. I said, it's anywhere that me and my mate can just go for a quick drink.
Yeah,
he wants to talk to me about the riot, and I've got to give him a few facts. We need somewhere quiet. Of course, Mr. Perry. He said,
how about your room?
No.
Why don't you just go there?
Well, I'm going to take him out of my room.
Why not?
Sometimes
if you want to have a nice quiet drink, if you've got a nice room,
anyway,
nothing wrong with that.
He said, there's a small executive dining room, he said, just on the other side of that curtain. He said, Mr.
Curtain?
Perry, that curtain.
The other side of the curtain?
I want you go in there with your friend and you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Nobody else in there. I said, that's great, thanks a lot. So we're in there just talking, and a bottle of wine was delivered, you know, because we need to lubricate our thoughts.
No doubt.
And I hadn't had a drink all night because I've been working all night.
Shocking.
You know? So it was a drink I'd earned, you know what I mean? And what happened was, about 10 minutes after we started talking and having a drink, curtain opened, in walked this party of four, which included Vinnie Jones.
Okay.
Didn't recognise the other bloke, but recognised. I said, oh, hello, Vinnie, you know. Hey, who, what?
So he didn't recognise you?
No, I don't really recognise me. Why should he, you know? So I introduced myself. He said, oh, are you really? So anyway, then came over the table, he leaned over, and for no reason whatsoever, leaned over into Ted's face, opened his mouth, clasped Ted's
nose. Completely unprovoked.
Completely unprovoked.
Yeah.
Ted hadn't even spoken to him.
Yeah.
Clasped his teeth around Ted Oliver's nose and bit.
Yes.
And then he took his teeth off, came back, and trying to be as funny as you can be when you've just badly assaulted somebody.
And he was bleeding, because I remember the picture.
Ted was bleeding.
They put it on the front page, didn't they?
Ted was bleeding. Ted was very clever.
Yeah.
I'll tell you about that in a second.
Yeah.
As a newspaper man, his instincts, you know, kicked in immediately.
Yeah, yeah.
But
he knew it was a story.
Yeah. And Vinnie Jones said, don't take offence, mate. Only do that to people I really like, okay?
Oh, yeah.
And then walked off and then sat down on the table.
Mm.
Ted started bleeding.
Right.
I went over and said, hey, you, because I dismissed them treating with any respect for what he'd just done.
Sure.
I said, you've just bitten my friend. I said, you know, what do you think you're doing? I said, are you mad?
Yeah.
I said, you're still registered player, you know, in England. For and the Football Association licensed you to play.
Right.
I said, you're off your rocker or what?
Yeah.
You know, hey, what? So anyway, then I had to go back to Ted and I said, Ted, we better get your doctor or something. And I actually said in a very loud voice, because they were 2 tables away, I said, we also need to get you inoculated against anthrax or something else you might have caught when somebody, you know, when an animal bites your nose.
Mm.
You know?
Rabies, maybe.
Rabies, yeah, and all that kind of stuff. You know, I said all that. So anyway, then Ted said, no, Mike, don't touch it. And there weren't a lot of mobile phones around in those days.
Right.
But Ted handed me a piece of paper and said, can you call that number?
Yeah.
I said, okay. It was the number of the Dublin-based Daily Mail photographer.
Okay.
He said, get him here immediately, tell him what's happened.
Yeah.
I said, you'd be better off calling a doctor.
Yeah.
He said, not yet, you know. I mean,
so you wanted the picture?
Yeah. I mean, Ted was...
Isn't that funny? Because, I mean, nowadays you just take a picture with your phone, wouldn't you?
Exactly, of course you could.
Yeah.
But you couldn't in those days, didn't have one. But Ted was a Northern Irish boy and had a very strong Northern accent, you know. Here, Michael, I'm telling you, don't you call a doctor.
Yeah.
Don't you call a doctor for me.
Very softly spoken guy, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was very softly spoken, but excellent reporter.
Decent guy.
Very, very, very decent guy. So I went away and called this number. I didn't know what I was calling. And the guy said, I said, who are you? He said, I'm the Daily, I'm the Dublin photographer. I said, well, Ted Oliver's here, and Vinnie Jones just bit his nose. He said, what? And, of course, the guy got into it immediately.
Yeah.
He was there within 15 minutes.
Right. And did you do the pictures next to Vinnie Jones or not?
Vinnie Jones had fled.
Ah. He really ran off?
Yeah, by that stage, Vinnie Jones had fled because he knew that he'd gone over the top. Anyway, of course, they got that picture into the later editions of the Mail that day, but they still wanted the full story the following day.
Sure.
So Ted then had to walk around Dublin.
Mm.
You know these silly masks that cyclists wear sometimes
to
stop them inhaling polluted air?
Right.
Ted,
like a surgical mask.
The surgical mask.
Yeah.
Ted got that around his nose, not his mouth, and put it on with plaster.
Right.
Plasters, all the way wrapped around his head because he knew that we're so devious in Fleet Street that somebody else would have tried to rip it off to get a picture of the damaged nose that Vinnie Jones had bitten.
Right.
And that's how clever Ted was, and nobody got another picture.
Else got the picture.
And it was quite brilliant. Anyway, Vinnie Jones then flew home. Mm. The story had broken in the Mail. He was apprehended by, you know, a mob of us guys, Fleet Street guys.
Right.
I think it was Gatwick or wherever he flew back to, Manchester or something, you know. And feigned complete ignorance and said, what? Don't know anything about it, mate.
Really?
Yeah.
Just denied it.
Yeah, absolutely not. I said, don't know anything about that.
Right.
I then had to go public. I think I made I think it was a TV interview.
Yeah.
Which I said, no, he knows nothing about it. I said, I was sitting there.
Yeah.
So I saw him bite Ted Oliver's nose. I said, it was a terrible, nasty, vicious assault for no reason.
Mm.
You don't do that to people. You shouldn't do that to people. The FA will be taking a very stern view of his behaviour.
Yeah.
And that's where it went. Ted, as a postscript to this, A few years later, I knew Ted very well. We'd worked together in Fleet Street and kept in touch with him. Then suddenly disappeared.
Yeah.
He just disappeared. I said to friends at the Daily Mail, oh, Ted, no, he's not been well. He went back to Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
And he had...
Because he was based in London at this point, wasn't he?
He's based in London most of his life.
Yeah.
He's a very, very good reporter. Went back to Northern Ireland, where he came from, moved back into a friend's home in the street where he was born or brought up, or something like that, you know, some locality, and refused to see anybody for the last 6 months of his life.
Yeah.
He had terminal cancer.
He had terminal cancer, and I remember.
And he did not see. He saw one person who was a female reporter he'd grown up with.
Yeah.
I think her name was Jill.
Okay.
And I think we might both know her.
Yeah.
You're right? Okay.
Yeah. Jill Palmer, maybe. Not Jill Palmer.
I'm not sure, but he was the only person. And so it made me think later what dignity that was.
Yeah.
Because Ted just decided, he's probably right. I know what's going to happen now. Everybody comes to see me, he's going to be sympathetic and embarrassed.
Yeah.
And what do you say to somebody who you know is going to die and you've known them for 20 years? He just refused to answer the phone. Didn't speak to anyone. He just issued a statement saying, you know, I'm not well and I've got a battle to fight and I'm going to fight it. See you all later. Bang, that was it. And then with great dignity and great sadness, Ted passed away.
Indeed. So he did. We'll talk some more about Ted Oliver and maybe some other Fleet Street stories on the next On The Record. Dennis Wise said to me, he said, that Mike Parry said, what's he like?
Oh, did he? Yeah. He wanted to know about me.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
So Dennis wanted to know about me.
I said,
probably because I'm a famous broadcaster.
I said, well, he's a bit of a horrible bastard.
Oh, come on.
No, I didn't say that. No, I said, he's a very funny guy. Yeah. He said, my mate Vinny doesn't think so.
My mate Vinny?
Yeah, because he's mates with Vinny Jones. They played together in Wimbledon.
Yeah.
And they won the cup together, I believe.
They did, yeah.
He said, he told me once he wanted to kill him.
Wanted to kill him?
And I said, why?
Vinny James wanted to kill me.
He said, I'm just telling you. He said, because if they're in the same room together, I don't think Vinny, it's not going to be a good thing. He said, so you might want to tell him to stay out of Vinny's way.
Really?
And I said, really?
Why?
I said, well, why is he so angry? He said, well, he apparently said something really horrible about him.
Yeah.
And I said, did he? And he said, well, do you not remember what he said? And I said, well, I think it was probably when Mike Parry said that Vinny was the worst footballer to ever play in the Premier League.
That's right.
And that he was the least talented.
I did.
And the most useless.
Yes, I did.
And Dennis just kind of shook his head and said, well, I'm not surprised he's upset.
Well, hang on.
If I go out walking somewhere with you, which is not as if we're going rambling together, but even if we're just walking to the pub, you're about 10 feet ahead of me all the time.
Yeah, well, that's because you know, I've got places to go in life, mate, and you're a slow...
Yeah, but we're going to the same place.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, surely the whole point...
Yeah, well, I usually get there first and end up buying the goddamn booze.
Well, that's up to you.
Yeah.
I mean, the point is that, you know, the point about walking somewhere, is actually about enjoying the other person's company.
Yeah,
but you don't enjoy my company, because, you know, you only enjoy my company if we're talking about you.
No, that's not true at all.
Really?
That is completely and utterly untrue.
Okay, then.
Now, let me tell you about the Siberian Shuffle. That
you don't
is...
care about this story I'm telling you about my mother.
Of course I do. And
you are so utterly uninterested in anything apart from you, aren't you?
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.